Great way to celebrate the birth of Christ. We're called to have the attitude of a child, and one of the greatest things that you and I can do is point children in the right direction this time of the year, because we know our culture points us oftentimes in another direction, the opposite of celebrating Christ. And so the kids did a great job. I thank the parents for bringing them out on Wednesday nights for the practices and for all those that were involved helping with that. Very much appreciate all the help. I don't know if you realize it this morning, but the message will be a little bit shorter. You can take that however you want. I know if Bonnie Cothran were still here, she'd say, "Preach it, brother, just preach. There's no clock when it comes to the sermon." How many of you are patient and like to wait? You just love it when you go to the shopping mall and you get to wait in line in the parking lot. And then you wait in line to get into the store and to get the product you want, and then wait in line to buy the product, and then wait in line to get out of the parking lot, to wait in line at the stoplight. Yeah, we've been there and done that. It seems waiting in line grows this time of year, and oftentimes it really can test our patience. I don't like to wait. I think by nature most people don't like to wait. Whether you're in some kind of a drive-up line, or you're at the doctor, or you're waiting on your wife to get ready, or whatever it might be. Internally, we don't like to wait on things. We want it to happen now and quickly. And for thousands of years, Israel waited. They recalled the great miraculous things that God had done to establish His people, the nation of Israel. They remember the stories that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation with this promise that someone would come to deliver the people of Israel, to restore who they were. And the wait was finally over because a king was coming. They remembered the prophecies of the Old Testament. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for example, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It seemed for the people of Israel that the waiting was finally over. But their judgment had been clouded in all of that time as they awaited. And you and I, our judgment can become clouded, our thinking can be swayed when we have to wait. We get frustrated, we get aggravated. The story may change several times, right? As we wait and our mood digresses. And for the people of Israel, this was the case. They were thinking a king would come and deliver them, uproot the Roman government, and establish Israel as it once was, perhaps under the reign of King David, the greatest king of Israel. But their judgment had been clouded. They had forgotten the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For us a child is born." And 700 years later, God delivered on this promise by sending a child. But something unique about this child was a king. You know, when you and I are born, there's not too much that's impressive about us. You might be cute and cuddly. You may have a head full of hair. You might be bald. You might be a string bean, or you might be chubby, but nonetheless, at least mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are probably pretty proud. But outside of that, for a newborn child, that's about the extent of it. But there was something unique about Jesus, that he was a king. They wanted a king, and they got it, just not what they had expected or remembered. But the birth story of Jesus brings you and I hope today. And perhaps the reason that it brings us so much hope is that a king came as a child, as a baby, and one day this king will return. And I hope that's something that's impressed upon your heart and your mind this morning, that we serve a king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the king of over all creation in heaven and of earth. And he came as a child. Jesus brought hope then, and he'll bring hope again. And boy, are we eagerly awaiting that. But we're reminded of this time of the year because we celebrate his birth. In Luke, reveals to us the arrival of this king, that Jesus was born a king. The wise men knew it. The wise men, they come to understand that something miraculous had happened, and we know that they followed the stars the children had just shown us. They sought out not just a baby, but they sought out a king. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They knew that this wasn't an ordinary birth of an ordinary baby, but a king. Perhaps they weren't quite sure what kind of king he would be, but nonetheless, they knew it was highly important that they come and worship this new king. And we know that Jesus came in that manner to change the world. And one day, he'll return to put an exclamation point on the end of history as he changes things completely once more. How can he do these things? Because God has given him all power. He has made him a conquering king. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Jesus wasn't born at home. He wasn't born in a hospital, but in a cave, in a cutout that for centuries shepherds of Israel would use to store their animals, to get them out of the elements, out of the weather. He wasn't laid to sleep in a cozy bassinet in the baby's room, but he was laid to sleep in a feeding trough with the stench of the animals near. And it was in that little town of Bethlehem, the city of David. Very unique how God brought this child into this world. Why did God come in such a manner? He wanted us to realize that we can identify with him. Now, that doesn't put Jesus as an even playing field with you and I. He is still king, yet he came in the flesh to show that he can sympathize with our struggle. He can sympathize with our pain. He rejoices just like we rejoice. He understands what it's like to be us. So he came. He would have rather have come in the manner that he did, born into a poor, insignificant family, than for you to be devoid of heaven. He would rather leave the prestige, his throne in heaven, so that one day you could experience heaven. He was willing, and he did it. And you can know today that an almighty king, it would be pretty impressive to meet a king, I suppose, in real life. Maybe you've met someone that you highly regard and you were kind of in awe that you got to shake their hand or have a conversation. But for you and I, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves you individually, each and every one of us, this much. A king, an almighty king. Luke chapter 2, continuing in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. This will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Luke points out that Caesar Augustus was the king. He was the man in charge. Everyone obeyed every command he gave. But then Luke also points out that a new king had come. A new king had been born, and things were going to be different. Just as God had prophesied that this king would be born in Bethlehem, it had come to pass. And this infant would become king of the world, of all creation. Look back with me at verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" We know this line. from watching the Charlie Brown Christmas. This was Linus's line. You remember the show. We remember these words, and Luke records what the angel spoke as a very miraculous occasion. Because in the first century, when Caesar Augustus had a birthday, a proclamation would be made throughout not just Rome, but the entire Roman world, the entire Roman Empire. And here is the message that would be said. We have good news of great joy for all the people of the empire. And so what were those angels doing? They were coming to announce that a new king had come. That things were going to be different. That things would be changed. The Romans, they called their emperor Christ, Savior, and Lord. They would use those terms because they felt that the emperor was chosen by God to deliver the people. And look at the message that came from heaven. A new king. This baby, this child, Jesus. And so on that night, things changed. Things changed. Christ came as a king. And one day, he will return once more. And because of that day, of that birth of Christ, all your pain, all your struggling, all your disappointment, one day will be wiped clean when Christ comes again as a king. And so we've established this morning that Jesus is the king. But my question for you is Jesus on the throne of your heart? That's the answer. Christ being on the throne of your heart. Each and every one of us need to come to the realization that we need to submit our lives to Christ and allow Him to rule our life, to be our king, to sit on the throne of our hearts. What's the purpose of a king? Well, it's twofold. First, to protect his people. The king's first duty is protect his people. Jesus is the shepherd that protects the flock. The second is the king is to keep his people free. We are bound to sin, but because of this baby that was born, because he is all-powerful, you can be freed of your sin. No longer bound. Your king has done that for you. And so this morning, we celebrate a great birth, the birth of Christ, that great king. This morning, we offer the invitation for you to place Christ on the throne of your heart, if you haven't chose to do that yet. And this morning, if you have, you should be rejoicing once more as you're reminded of the birth of Christ and what He was willing to go through for you individually, that He sits on the throne of your heart today. Let's stand and let's sing our song this morning.